Welcome to the Trinity's Podcast, where we explore theories about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Episode 19, the final segment of the Lewis Rogers debate, is the Trinity polytheism. In this last of our three segments, our debaters each give a second 7-minute rebuttal and then a 5-minute closing argument. This is when they wrap up any loose ends, reiterate their main points, and try to make the sale. Are you buying? They get into questions like, does the Quran imply that Christians are not polytheists? Does the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, teach that the one God is in some sense multipersonal? And if Jesus is a God, then must he be a different God than his Father? In our next episode, I'll weigh in with my evaluation of the debate. On then to the final rounds.
All right, my opponent, I better get right into this. My opponent has tried to steer you away from the Quran here, and I can understand why he would do that. It's not a book that's going to help him out on this. He said in Surah 98:6, the Christians are included amongst the polytheists, but no, they're not. You can look at it yourself. Those who disbelieve among the polytheists of the, or excuse me, those who disbelieve among the people of the scripture and the idolaters will abide in the fire of hell. The conjunction and presuppose the distinction. In fact, that's what he's trying to argue tonight, isn't it? When we speak of Father and Son and Spirit. Well, at least here, Jews and Christians are distinguished from the polytheists. That was only one of 9 reasons, by the way, why I said he'd have to jettison his Quran if he says that Christians are polytheists. There are many others, and I could have given more myself. Now, as far as this idea, he said in his first rebuttal that I didn't get to, that the, or at least in his opening or somewhere along the lines, that the Jews never believed this. I don't know what he's been reading. Maybe he thinks that his next-door neighbor is a good benchmark, his unbelieving, apostate Jewish neighbor. But the question is, in this case, if that were relevant, it would be, what did ancient Jews believe? Well, listen to this. Here's what is written by Daniel Boyerin in an issue of the Harvard Theological Review. And Daniel Boyerin, by the way, is an Orthodox Jew. In fact, he's the professor of Talmudic culture at the Department of Near Eastern Studies and Rhetoric at the University of California, Berkeley. He's speaking here of the notion of the Memra, what I mentioned earlier, the Word who rained down fire from heaven, the Logos. He says, and I quote, although the official rabbinic theology, which is after Christianity, suppressed, held down, all talk of the Memra or Logos by naming it the heresy of two powers in heaven, both before the rabbis and contemporaneously with them, there was a multitude of Jews in both Palestine and the diaspora who held on to this version of monotheistic theology. Here he's saying that the Jews believed in at least two persons on this, just dealing with the Word here, the Word, the Memra of the Lord, and the Lord himself. And this is called monotheistic theology by this Orthodox Jew, and I could easily quote many others. But really, I want you to notice this. When he says the Jews didn't believe that, that just begs the question. I argued from Genesis 18 and 19 that they did believe, or at least ought to have believed, in two divine persons. There was no argument for that. There was no rebuttal. What is the response to Genesis 19:24? There isn't one. Now remember, he keeps saying, if they're gods, then, because I don't know why, thinks he's not been arguing back and forth, sometimes that Jesus is not God, other times that he is. What was the point then of arguing that he doesn't know all things? To which I replied that he was also a human being, and therefore had real human attributes and characteristics, not only divine attributes. The point of that was to say he's not really called God in the Bible, but he is. And the reason for pointing out that the Bible speaks of both persons as God is because of this, the argument that he didn't respond to, which was, if Moses, who was a monotheist, well, this isn't the words of Moses, so I better put that aside. If Moses, who was a monotheist, taught that there was more than one divine person in the Godhead, then it follows inescapably that the Trinity, the belief that God is more than one person, is monotheistic, even by his assumptions. Understand that. You can't get around that. A deductive argument is sound unless you can refute one of the premises. The conclusion follows necessarily. The premises haven't been refuted. The same thing when it comes to Jesus. Jesus taught his own divinity in John chapter 8. Did you hear a response to that? You didn't. What you heard was him bringing up many verses, maybe hoping that I might miss one. And I'm sure I've missed one or two, but I haven't missed all of them. And I've shown you something of the idea of how each one can be replied to. And by the way, this business about Jesus in heaven next to the Father, according to Stephen in Acts 7. Notice he wants to press the idiom literally here. He wouldn't do that in his own Quran. It says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he even hit his arm. Do you think God has an arm walking around? We're not Mormons, we're Christians, and I don't know any Christian who believes that. But there are Muslims, by the way, who believe that God has an arm, literally. And they point to the Quran for that. I don't think my opponent believes that, but there are Muslims who do. I'm sure he wouldn't want me playing that game with him. So what are the arguments then? The argument is this. Moses and Jesus are both monotheists, by his admission, by mine, the Quran and the Bible. And the Quran even distinguishes between Jews, Christians on the one hand, and polytheists on the other. So my opponent is stuck, I think, between a rock and a hard place. And I do think you have to give me your Quran in light of that, by the way. Oh, well, let me comment on this before I forget. Jesus said, the Father's greater than I am. Okay, in John 14:28, I've got to say, I mean this with all due respect, when he made the statement that the word greater means surpassing either in nature, and then he stopped there and he interjected something. Maybe this was a mistake on his part. But he went on to complete the sentence in this way, and I'll do it the whole way. He surpasses either in nature and power. That couldn't be something that he read from a scholarly book, because that's not even good grammar. When you say either, you're saying either this or that. It could either mean this or that. What did the source he read really say? I'm excited to see after the debate, because it has to be saying either in this way, or maybe it means it in this way. So, for example, a source, and I can tell you the Greek term, means it could refer to a person's position or his function. Okay, the president is greater than I am. Okay, he's got an arm like I do, by the way. His position is greater than mine, but his essence isn't. Jesus, according to Paul, humbled himself. He says Jesus didn't teach that because Jesus was sent by the Father. That was the argument. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on himself human attributes and characteristics. That's not a disproof of his deity, and it's not a proof that he's a second God. It is a proof that he is a second person, distinct from the Father. I agree with all those verses, and I didn't need to be convinced of that tonight. I agree there's only one God. I agree that Father, Son, and Spirit are distinct persons. What I disagree with him on is that this necessarily entails polytheism for all the reasons I've given. They are one in essence, and one of the persons can condescend and did condescend. Oh, by the way, in John 17:3, he said that the glory will be given to the disciples. Very different context. Notice the glory given to the disciples is not one that they had with the Father before the world began. And that's Jesus talking about this condescension. He said he dismissed Paul in order to fly off to Jesus. Here's Jesus saying the same thing. He existed in heaven with the Father and shared the same glory. How could that be unless he were truly divine? And what does that entail regarding his, and I better conclude. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, all right, once again, the Quran gives the Christians and Jews a special title as people of the book. Nonetheless, they are still considered those who associate partners to God. They're just given a special title because they still come from, you know, the lineage of the prophets. So they're given this distinction as opposed to others who are completely have a different or come from a totally different belief system. Still, nonetheless, chapter 98, verse 6 clearly equates them and says they will wind up in the same place. Okay, so I'm still going to keep my Quran. Now, again, maybe you didn't hear me correctly. I didn't say that the Jews didn't believe in the idea you were spoken about. What I said clearly was that the Jews didn't believe in Jesus as their God. They didn't believe in the ancient Israelites did not believe that there was God the Father and there's this other God, a second person, the Son named Jesus. That's what I said. I didn't say about the man. And plus, the Memra, ask any Jew. Go to the Jewish scholars and ask them, is the Memra the Trinity? Is the Memra the Trinity? Ask them if the belief in the Jewish Memra is the Trinity. The answer will be no. And at most, the Memra is speaking of two persons. That's not your Trinity. Your Trinity is three persons. But again, ask the Jews, do they believe that the Memra is the Christian Trinity? Has it ever been the Christian Trinity? Did Moses ever believe that Jesus was God? Did he ever even mention Jesus? That, yeah, we have the God the Father and God the Son, his name is Jesus. The answer, we already know, it's no. Now, he says that I'm going back and forth whether Jesus is God or not. Actually, I'm not giving these verses to discount whether Jesus is God. As I said, for the sake of argument, I'm trying to hold to the Christian position that Jesus is God. And I'm saying to you that, okay, I'm for the sake of argument, if he's God, but he speaks of another as God, or he cries out to another that has forsaken him as God, or he says that his God is your God, and he is God for the sake of argument, then clearly there's more than one God. Because this one who is God, he's clearly addressing someone else as God. He's telling you that that God is his God. He's telling you that if he is God, again, I'm like, for the sake of argument, he's telling you he doesn't know what this other God knows. He's telling you that this other God is greater than him. He's telling you that this other God has forsaken him. If he's God and he's telling you, he's talking to someone else as my God, why have you forsaken me? Clearly, there is has to be another God that he's speaking of. Is he talking to himself? If he is one God and there's only one God, then what is he doing? Is he talking to himself? When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who is he talking to? If he's the only God, who's he talking to? Obviously, he's not talking to himself. He's talking to someone else that has forsaken him. So if he is God, for the sake of argument, and he's crying out to someone else, then obviously there must be another God, polytheism. He brung up John 8:42, again, saying that that's not what Jesus spoke in relation to Philippians, humbling himself. Well, look what he says here. He says, I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself. Philippians says, yes, he did come of himself. Philippians says Jesus took it upon himself and humbled himself and made himself as a servant. Here Jesus says, I did not come of myself, but he sent me. That means somebody who has more power than him, someone who has more power than him sent him. Philippians says he humbled himself, meaning it was a voluntary action. He himself took a lower position, came as a man. But here Jesus says, no, I did not come of myself. It was not a voluntary action. I didn't come of myself, but he sent me. He sent me. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. And then again, John 17:22 says that the glory that was given to them was something different. Well, if you remember that in the same chapter, in the previous verses, he's supposed to be asking God to give him the glory that he had, right? He's supposed to be asking God to give him the glory that he had with God before. So now if he gets that, now in verse 22, he's saying, look, and the glory which you have given me. Well, in this same chapter, he was already asking God to give him that glory. So now he says, the glory that you have given me, which according to the context, it has to be the same glory that he was just asking for. He says, the glory that you have given me that I had with you, I give to them now. So if this is supposed to make him God and he's sharing this glory with others, what's going on here then? Are these also gods too? And again, the point is, I'm accepting your position for the sake of argument that if he's God, why is God asking God to give him glory? Whether to share it or not, the sharing part really is irrelevant. The point is, if he's God and there's only one God, why then is he asking this other God to give him glory? Clearly, he's talking to someone else who is God. So if he's God, which I, like I said, for the sake of argument, put it in that context. Jesus is God. He's talking to someone else, asking that God to give him glory. Is that not more than one God? They're clearly talking to each other. They're clearly talking to each other. How can they not be more than one God if the two are talking and conversing? If it was one person and you were telling me that these are just different aspects of the same person, I say, okay, I see what you're saying. But no, that's not what we see here. We see, again, independent thought, independent actions. One has more power than the other. One has less power. One has more knowledge. One has less knowledge. One forsakes the other. Clearly, we are dealing with more than one person or being who is supposed to be God. So again, as I say, from this evidence, it is clear that indeed the belief in the Trinity is a belief in reality in polytheism. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. I look forward to the time we have afterwards for further discussion, and I'll bet you all wish that you could be there for that too. I'm sure you can write Shadid and exchange your thoughts with him and maybe see what he thinks of the aftermath. But let me conclude by pointing out that my major arguments tonight really haven't been answered or even, I think, broached as far as I can recall. My point was that we both affirm that Moses and Jesus were monotheists. He believes in that. But I proved that Moses and Jesus both taught that Jesus was a second divine person. And by the way, I don't have to prove that further point that the Holy Spirit is a divine person. I can do that. But I did, and I did in some part cash in on that by pointing out Matthew 28. In principle, what I'm saying is if I've proven two persons is not polytheism, then the third follows by a matter, by simple, follow through. If two persons is not polytheism, three isn't, right? Each person is one with the other in their essential nature. Now, he said to try and get his Quran back, and I'm going to get that Quran. I think that's the door prize or something. He said that the Quran clearly distinguishes between these two. It just gives them different titles. I mean, it doesn't clearly distinguish between them. It just gives them different titles, since they both had different backgrounds, apparently. No, it clearly distinguishes between them. Remember the distinction I pointed out. Surah 2, 221 says you can't marry polytheists. Surah 5:5 says you can marry Christians, people of the book. Is that not a distinction? Well, he tried to come back on this memra business about the Jews not really believing that. Again, says who? What Jew? My wife's a Jew. She'll tell him differently. She'll probably leave it up to me, but I quoted for you a Jew, an actual Jewish scholar who said otherwise in the Harvard Theological Review. I suspect that his testimony means something, and I've read the Targums. I can tell you the belief is there. It's unavoidable. It's in your face, and it's called monotheism by Daniel Boyerin, an Orthodox Jew who has an axe to grind, who has every reason not to want that to be true. He spent most of his rebuttal period pointing out that Jesus is giving glory to the disciples. I thought I already responded to that, and I'll just say in conclusion that the glory that he talks about giving them, and I think a lot of that was convoluted for me, honestly, at this point in the debate, but the glory that Jesus had with the Father is a glory he had with the Father before the world began. That's not said of the disciples. That's not said of you and me. We were not there. He was, because he's the Word who existed in the beginning with God. That's what John says. He existed in the beginning with God. Notice the distinction. He keeps saying, how could he talk to God? How could there be different persons? He spoke, he was there with God. But then it also says, and he was God. If you pay attention to the Greek there, or if you pick up a commentary that discusses it, you'll note that what the author is doing there is very incredibly put. He says, the Word who was with God, ton theon, the God, and the Word was God, theos, meaning he was the same in nature as the God that he is with. That's the literal upshot of the Greek. He was with God and was by nature what the God he is with was and is. One in nature. That's why all these statements can be made about personal distinctions that don't imply three gods. They're not separate in their essential nature. Jesus did condescend and enter into the world, according to Philippians chapter 2, and he said that was contradictory to what Jesus said, that I was sent, because it says I took upon myself. What it says there is that Jesus took upon himself a human nature. He took upon him the form of a servant. It's not saying he wasn't sent by the Father. Those two things are not contradictory. If you think they're contradictory, we need another whole session to talk about what a contradiction is. No, those two statements are complementary. The Father sent him, and Jesus obeyed for us men and for our salvation. He took upon himself a human nature. He humbled himself. He set aside his divine glory. He entered into the world, and he lived a real human life. He lived a life that we never lived and couldn't live unto God, and he lived it for our sakes. That's why Jesus offers us eternal life if we put our trust in him, and only if we put our trust in him. He says, I give unto them, that is my sheep, those who believe in me, eternal life. His prophet couldn't say that. Our God could, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he admits was a monotheist. That monotheist believed in his own deity and also in his distinct personhood from the Father. I readily grant to you that's a mystery beyond our understanding, beyond our kin. But if you thought that God was just like you, then you had something to learn tonight, I can assure you. In the Psalms, we're told that that was part of the problem that people had back in those days. They said, God said to them, you thought that I was just like you. They found out otherwise. And I'm hoping that my opponent doesn't find out otherwise, because the same Jesus, who maybe wasn't called Jesus during the days of Moses, but the one whom the Jews called the Word, who is distinct from the Father, came down from heaven, spoke with Abraham, and destroyed a wicked group of people. That same Jesus says he's going to come back and deal out retribution to those who know not God, and believe not in his eternal divine Son.
Good way to end with a sermon, but not dealing with the subject matter. Now, again, as I said, the Quran clearly gives a different title to people of the book, but nonetheless, they are still considered to be those who associate partners to God. So an exception is made that we can marry from the people of the book once again because of, although them being labeled as such, that we still have some things that are in common, such as being in believing in the prophets and Abraham and things of this nature. So an exception is made for marrying a Jewish woman or a Christian woman. Now, he said that Moses taught that Jesus was the second person. Where's that at? I've never seen Moses mention anything about Jesus. Never hear any time that Moses spoke about God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. Never seen Moses mention any such words. He says that I said that the Jews didn't believe in the Memra. No, that's not what I said. I said the Jews don't believe that the Memra is the Trinity. That's what I said. The Jews don't believe the Memra is the Trinity. I didn't say that they don't believe in the Memra. I said they do. But I said, go ask them, do they believe that the Memra is the Trinity? Okay? I didn't say that they don't believe in it. I said they don't believe it's the Trinity. Is that clear? They do not believe the Memra is the Christian Trinity. He spoke about, again, the glory with the Father. Once again, glory with the Father. If there's only one God, then there's nobody to be with. If there's only one God, there's no one to be with. It says he has the glory. He wants the same glory that he had with the Father. So it's him and there's this other person or this other being. If they're both God and he's with this other person, then clearly there's more than one God there. He mentioned about John 1:1. Some argue that because when it says the word, and the word is God, that in the Greek, the definite article is not there. It just says theos instead of hotheos. So they say that it actually should be translated as a God or a divine figure, not God himself, because the definite article is not there. He said, but Jesus believed in his own deity. I don't see that. In John chapter 8, verse 40, Jesus clearly says, now you seek to kill me, a man. And he's not using the word man as in a male figure. He uses the word anthropos. It means a human being. He doesn't say a man and a man who's a God and a human being. No, he says, I'm a human being, anthropos. So he's actually telling you he believes that he's a human being. And he says, I'm a human being who heard the truth from God. If he's God and there is another, and he heard from God, who is the other God that he's hearing from, right? So once again, I'm willing to accept the Christian argument for the sake of argument that, okay, Jesus is God. Okay. But he says, I heard the truth from God. So here's one God hearing the truth from another God. If he's God and they're the same, why is he saying, I heard the truth from God? Shouldn't he already know the truth? So this is another example to show you that if you want to maintain this position that Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, they clearly cannot be seen as one and the same God, because here he's telling you again, I heard the truth from God. He obviously didn't have the truth himself. He had to hear it from God. So if he is God and he says, I heard the truth from God, then we clearly have more than one God here. This, again, is sad to say, is polytheism. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to try to give you an Islamic sermon at the end. Just go search the truth. Sure, it sounds good. I could easily say yes. So if you want salvation, come to Islam, come to the Quran, and you will be guided. Look, I'm not here for that. If you can search the truth for yourself. The point is that it is clear that if you maintain this position of believing in the Trinity, you can say all day long that it's only one God. But the reality, when you look at these verses and evidence that I've given you, it is clear that if that is the case, it is indeed polytheism and not monotheism. Again, pay attention to those things. If he's God, he says, I heard the truth from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Ask yourself the question, if he's God, why is he referring to somebody else's God? Why is he saying, I heard from God? Why is he saying, God sent me? Why is he saying, one is greater than me? Why is he saying, I don't know that day, only the Father knows that day? Why even refer to somebody else if there's only one God and you're that one God? If you're that one same God, why even refer to somebody else having more knowledge than you or favoring you or giving glory to you? Why even say that if there's more than one God? So again, if that is the case, then clearly, if you're honest with yourself, you will see that we are clearly dealing with more than one God. This is polytheism.
For listening. We'll see you online at trinities.org.